Psalm 111, and we're going to jump right into this. I'm going to do my best to finish this psalm tonight, and wherever we get to, we may just leave it be. Where it lies, we'll see what the Lord does. On Wednesday night, our missionary to Africa, Brother Ruckman, will be with us, and we're excited. Him and Sister Angela are back stateside. It was Jimmy's great-grandfather, I believe it was, passed away and some time ago, a couple weeks back, and they've been able to get back to stateside. They was coming back anyway for some doctor's appointments Sister Angela had to have back stateside, and so they had to move it forward just a little bit, but they'll be with us on Wednesday, and we're excited about them coming and being here. And looking forward to hearing the preacher preach to us the word of the Lord. And as far as I know, Jenna and JoJo will be in the service. And I cannot wait. You say, who is Jenna and JoJo? Well, if you don't know who they are, that's your fault. Amen. And I'm excited they're going to be here. So I'll be all smiles on Wednesday night. And looking forward to that service already. Let's stand together. Psalm 111, verse 1 through 10. We'll give reverence to reading of God's word. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. If that's all this psalm said, we just have to cut loose a shouting. Amen. Because he's worthy to be praised. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is a phrase you'll find throughout the word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Having a right reverential relationship to God is the only way you'll know the wisdom of the Lord. Amen. I believe that. And the wisdom of the Lord, where would you find that? Here's who you'll find it in: Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the revelation. He is where all the wisdom of God can be found. Amen. So the Bible said, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We've been studying this psalm several Wednesday nights in a row now, and have been blessed in our study privately, and as well as our study with you in those services. You'll remember that we have made mention, this is likely, wouldn't be too dogmatic about it, but it's likely another psalm of David. And we understand the specific background of this psalm is unknown. We don't know what's going on in David's life in the earthly realm that has prompted this penning of this psalm. But we do know the Spirit of the Lord has moved upon him, and he has penned this psalm. This psalm is known along with Psalm 9, Psalm 10, Psalm 25, Psalm 34, Psalm 37, Psalm 112, Psalm 119, and Psalm 145 as what is known as an alphabetical psalm. thus meaning it is structured with 22 lines, each beginning with a letter in order from the Hebrew alphabet. Thus it magnifies Jesus again as the revelation of God's wisdom and God's revelation of the communication of the gospel message that is the power of God unto salvation. And I won't re-preach all of that, but we understand the Lord, that He's declared of Himself, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And that is the Greek letters of the Greek alphabet, the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. And thus He is referencing the fact, and it doesn't matter what language it's in, Jesus is His name. Amen. And He is everything that will bring a man to the way of salvation and the light of God's glorious salvation. And so we look at this psalm again tonight. Though the background for the psalm's penning is unknown, the theme is easily identified from the opening line. And there's a series of psalms, Psalm 111, Psalm 112, Psalm 113, are going to begin, and then further from there you'll find other psalms that end with this same phrase, praise ye the Lord. That's the theme for this psalm. It is dealing with the child of God giving praise to the Lord. And in particular in this psalm, it strikes upon a very particular matter that we are to praise the Lord for. The praise of the saints here in this psalm is to be upon the works of God. The works of God. In fact, if you look at it again, you'll find in verse number 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 6 and 7, that David in this psalm references the works and the work of God. And the works of God is what God has done. The work of God and the works of God is His moving, His action, His activity, His deeds that He has accomplished in our lives. Thus the praise of Psalm 111 is not just for who God is. He is the Lord. He is Savior. He is King. He is Creator. He is our Shepherd. And He is on and on all these things the Bible declares Him to be. He is holy and He is righteous and He is gracious and He is love and He is patience and He is truth. And we could go on and on tonight. And for all these things about who God is, He should be praised. But in Psalm 111, it is not us just praising God for who He is, but praising God for what He has done. Praising God for what He has done. And David makes it very personal. Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord. And so David has in mind the works and the work of God, the doings of God, the activity of God in his own life. And he joins us to meditate upon the same thing. And that we are to praise the Lord for what he's done in our life. That's the theme we've taken in the title for the psalm that we're preaching through these verses, is praising the Lord for what he's done in your life. I'm glad tonight I can look through my life and see some doings of God. There are sovereign things. There are things that are God things that only God has done and only God could do. And for those things, we're called upon in this psalm to give praise to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise is comely, the Bible said, and praise is something that is due to the name of our God. And so in this psalm, we find that we are praising the Lord for what he's done in our life. Notice in verse number 2 concerning these works, David's first declaration is simply this, the works of the Lord are great. You say, preacher, I don't even know if I have anything to praise God for concerning what he has done. But David said, the works of the Lord in my life and the works of God around us among humanity, that they are great. They are not small. They are not minuscule. They are not fleeting and passing and here a little and there a little. No, David said, let me tell you about the works of the Lord. The works of the Lord, they are great. They are great in design. They are great in size. They are great in number. They are great in excellence. They are great in perfection. They are great in every way something could be great. The works of the Lord are great. And so we are called upon here, he said, the works of the Lord are great, sought out. That is, the works are sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. And so we are to be called upon here if we're going to praise the Lord for what he's done in our life. It's going to require you and I understanding that the Lord is working all around us. He's working in every situation of our life. He has not done small things in our life. He has done great things in our life. I must view with a spiritual eye the things that God has done. Amen. I must seek them out. I must open my spiritual eyes that I might see and behold the wonders and the workings of God that he has done. Now David said, let me tell you now, as we're praising the Lord, understanding that the works of the Lord are great, and we're to open our eyes and find out where God is moving and God is working and God is doing things in our life. But then he said we need to have pleasure therein. And this word pleasure, we hit a lick on it on Wednesday night. It just means to delight in. Now the fact of the matter is God is working. God is doing some things in your life. The question is not, is God working? The question is, do I find pleasure in what God is doing? Do I delight in it? It means to incline toward. It signifies esteeming something to be very valuable to your life. And so we understand that God's works in our life is something we ought to esteem to be very valuable. I'm well aware of the fact that our Lord and Savior said, without me, ye can do nothing. And so I cannot make it without God working in my life. I need the Lord doing. I need the activity of Almighty God being manifest in my life. I find pleasure in that tonight. I don't know why he finds pleasure in doing anything for me, but I find pleasure in everything he does for me. He ought to leave me to myself. He ought to leave me to do the best I can, which on my best day, amen, would only leave my life in a mess. But I'm glad the Lord finds pleasure in doing anything for my life. And in what he finds pleasure to do, I find pleasure and esteem it to be very, very valuable. I'm mindful often the older I get of the song that I remember as a boy being sung in church services and in meetings that the old songwriter said, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That didn't mean a whole lot to me when I was young and you think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof and you got life by the tail and I mean, buddy, you're just doing amazing. You think you're Superman. But the older you get, the longer you live, the more you come to the understanding that we can't even walk without the Lord holding our hand. We are dependent upon him working in our life. We are dependent on him being active in our life. Amen. I can walk if the Lord is working. I can stand in victory if the Lord is bringing the victory. Amen. I can weather the storm so long as the Lord is working in my life. And so this evening we understand that we are to have pleasure in God's doings. We're to be seeking out opportunities to praise the Lord for what he's done in our life. Now here's something I thought about coming out of Wednesday night service. I wrote it down because Brother Mike, it was so mind-blowing profound. amen, thinking about praising the Lord for what he's done in our life. Our praise to the Lord will be to the degree that we have pleasure in what he has done. If you have small pleasure or no pleasure in what God is doing, you know what you'll have? No praise or small praise. But if you find great pleasure in what God is doing, you won't have to wear it on a t-shirt. You'll be able to be identified and you'll stand out as somebody who has great praise to the Lord for what he's done in your life. I want to say tonight we've got much to praise the Lord for. Amen. I've got a lot to bless the Lord and to worship the Lord and to praise the Lord for. Praising the Lord for what he's done in your life. We looked at on Wednesday night, verse number one, the call to praising the Lord for what he's done in our life. We looked at the way we are called upon to praise the Lord personally. David said, I will praise the Lord. We're called to praise the Lord purposefully. I will. We're not going to leave it up to emotion. We're not going to leave it up to the circumstances of life. We're not going to leave it up to whether we feel like it or not. I will, David said, on purpose, praise the Lord. We're called upon to praise the Lord persistently. The word praise that David uses here, it means I will praise him now and I will praise him later. I will praise him today and I will praise him tomorrow. I will praise him every opportunity that I have and I will do so persistently. We are called upon to praise the Lord passionately. David said, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. With my whole heart, I'll give it all I've got. All the love, all the gratitude, all the thankfulness, all the excitement will be done passionately to the Lord. I will praise him for what he's done in my life. We're called upon to praise the Lord purely. Amen. David said, let's do this in the assembly of the upright. Let's make sure we're right with God. Let's make sure that we're not praising him with our lips and denying him by the way we live. Amen. A holy life, amen. Holy lips ought to be measured by a holy life. Amen. A lot we could preach on right there. Praise him purely. And then we're called upon to praise him publicly. David said, and in the congregation. Amen. That is at the house of the Lord, in the place of corporate public worship, I will praise the Lord. And we ought to praise him in private. And I hope you know what that's like. But if you're a private praiser, you will have no trouble of finding opportunity to praise the Lord publicly. When we come to church, we ought to be fighting each other for the first opportunity to stand and praise the Lord. I'm not talking about rambling on a bunch of nonsense and just repeating everything you've ever said every time you stood up. I'm talking about, my friend, from a heart of gratitude for what God's done for you recently, blessing and praising the Lord in public for what he's done in your life. Amen. And so the call to praise the Lord for what he's done in our life. Let me move on tonight in this psalm. We've got to hurry. I want to deal with the content for praising the Lord for what he's done in our life. David is going to hit upon some very specific things. And I believe we can derive that. And I understand David's a king and he's a king in Israel. He's a Jewish man. But I want to say David's praise of the Lord is a good example for you and I to follow. And what God had done in David's life, God has done in my life. And God has done in your life. And there are some things that God's children ought to be focused on tonight about what God has done in our life and how we ought to praise him. Amen. What are we to praise him for? Number one, amen. Y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. Verse number three, write it down this way. The note takers, write it down this way. The others of you have it in your heart. We are to praise the Lord for His special work. Amen. Let me show you what I mean in the text tonight in Psalm 111. In verse number 2 again, the works of the Lord. The works of the Lord. Notice with me in verse number 4. He hath made His wonderful works, plural, to be remembered. Again in verse number 6, the Bible said He has showed His people the power of His works. In verse number 7, the works of His hand are verity and judgment. And so there is the matter of works that are involved. But would you look back in verse number 3 to our verse for this thought? His work. His work, singular. It is a singular work. And David has in mind in this verse, His work, singular, as though David is magnifying the Lord in praise for the work that He has done that is the greatest of all His works, the work of salvation. Amen. Amen. I'm glad this evening. Amen. I hate to keep referencing old songs I've heard sung about all my life. But I'm mindful of that song that talks about I wasn't there by the shores of Galilee when he fed the multitudes, when He opened blinded eyes. I wasn't there to see Him raise the dead. But the song said I was there, and I know when He lifted me. At the greatest of all miracles the Lord has ever done, it's in the saving of my never dying, sin sick, wretched soul. Amen. Of all the works the Lord has done and has done throughout human history, and the works plural that He's done in my life, there is nothing that compares to that single day when the Lord gave me a special work in my life. Amen. The work of salvation. I'm glad tonight that I'm saved. Tonight, if you can't see any other work that God has done, if you can stand and say beyond the shadow of a doubt, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. If you can say, I know I'm saved, I know I'm saved, I know I've been born of the Holy Ghost, and my friend, He has given you a special word that you ought to praise the Lord for tonight. The greatest of all works that He has done is salvation. Greater than His work of creation. Greater than His work in bringing Noah through the flood. Greater than His works that He did in the life of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob. Greater than the works that He did in Joseph's life after that He'd been betrayed and sold, and how the Lord worked in Joseph's life to the point that even Joseph could testify who his brothers, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. That is a testimony of the works that God had done in the life of Joseph. A greater work than God setting the Israelites free from Egyptian bondage. And on and on and on we can go tonight at the greatest and most special work, singular, the Lord will ever do in a man, woman's life is to save them by His mighty power. Amen. His work. Let me give you some things how I see salvation in verse number 3. I see that we ought to praise Him for His special work at being salvation, because in this I see the gift that is revealed. You say, what do you mean? Notice what the Bible said. This is His work. It is not David's work. David knows he can't work to be saved. It was David that said the Lord does not delight in sacrifices and in burnt offerings, though under the old economy that's what He demanded of the nation of Israel. But even David understood it wasn't in the outward and the temporal keeping of those laws that God had given, but that the Lord delighted, my friend, in the offering that He would make one day in His own Son. son. That's why John the Baptist, the son of a priest in the land of Israel, was able to say on the Jordan River banks when the Lord showed up to John's ministry, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." He is the gift that is revealed. You can never work enough to earn and merit your own salvation. Amen. If you're a merit monger, you'll bust tail wide open. Amen. Salvation is not a meritorious working of ourselves. Amen. Salvation is found, amen, in the gift of his own son that the apostle Paul said was God's unspeakable gift. That we'd have no hope. We'd have no hope of eternal life. We'd have no hope of salvation. There would be no special work of redemption in our life from the hand of God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the gift that is revealed. It is his work. You and I, we couldn't work in the keeping of the law to be able, my friend, to merit a righteous standing before God. I said it this morning, even Moses, the lawgiver, had broken the law of God. He didn't even measure up to it. And he's the one God used to give it to Israel. And there ain't never been a Jew that, my friend, was able to live up to it until the Lord Jesus Christ came along. The Bible said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He said, "I've not come to destroy the law, I've come to fulfill the law." And he fulfilled what you and I can never fulfill and offered the gift of salvation to you and I. Amen. Hallelujah. A gift that is revealed. Notice with me, I'm talking about praising the Lord. Praising the Lord for the special work he has done in our life. And work of salvation. Anybody here saved tonight? You know about the gift that is revealed? Do you understand how many people are deceived in religious systems tonight? They're looking at Joseph Smith. They're looking at Charles Russell. They're looking to Moses and Abraham. They're looking, my friend, to Allah and the prophet Muhammad. And you and I, we have the Savior. We have the one who said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." A son that the heavenly Father gave of himself to be the gift to you and I. The gift that is revealed. Notice the glory that is reflected. His work, this special work, is honorable and glorious. I don't know if there's two old English words that could greater describe the work of God in saving our soul in a greater way than, Brother Tim, those two words, what he did in me when I got saved. It was honorable and it was glorious. These words together, if I could put it this way, would imply that God's work of salvation is singular, special work. It is both magnificent and it is beautiful. And I say it's beautiful how the Lord can reach down to a bunch of ugly sinners in the muck and the mire of sin, gone astray and in the briar patches of this world, and reach down in the honky-tonks and in the bar rooms and the pool halls, and to reach down even in Baptist church pews tonight and reach down and grab those who are whited sepulchers on the outside and on the inside are full of dead men's bones, and yet, my friend, raise them up out of their ugly sinful condition and bestow upon them the glory and the honor and the beauty of Almighty God. Amen. Ain't you glad you saved tonight? I'm talking about praising God for his special word. Amen. There's no glory in me. But when the Lord saved me, why did he do that? He saved me and he saved you. And that work might be a reflection of honor and glory back upon him. That's why when we get to heaven, what John said he saw in heaven in Revelation chapter number 5 is that all the saved, all those that had the gift revealed to them and received the gift. When we get to heaven, ain't nobody going to say, buddy, I'm telling you, I deserve to be here. I've earned my way. I merited all of this. Why, look at what a glorious life I live. Look how honorably I lived up to the law of God. Oh no, John said, when we get to glory, and my friend, every saint of God will fall upon their face and they'll say, he is worthy. He is worthy to receive glory, and he's worthy to receive honor, and he's worthy to receive power, and he's worthy to receive worship. Why? Because he is the one that done this special work. Glory that is reflected. God did not save you because you earned it. He didn't save you because you deserved it. And he didn't even save you because he felt sorry for you. He saved you to get glory to his name. Oh, can I remind you again of another hymn song we sing? Down at the cross where the Savior died, down where from cleansing, from sin I craved, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I'm glad tonight it ain't about my glory. I have none outside of the Lord Jesus and what he did in that special work of saving my soul. It is a reflection of his own glory. Notice with me, I probably enjoy this part of this point more than any. I see the guilt that is removed. In salvation, this special work that the Lord does for those that will call upon the name of Jesus, his righteousness endureth forever. Now let's get this right. That Bible right there in the Old Testament and the New Testament says, there is none righteous, no, not one. That we are all guilty before God, and that we all have gone astray, and that we all are born into sin. And even in the Old Testament, David said, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And speaking of his own sin nature, a man that he was testified was a man after God's own heart and God's own anointed and God's chosen one. He said, I myself have a sin nature. So we could go through and talk about tonight the guilt of sin that is against all of us. That guilt has been rolled about by the giving of the law of God, whereby we all stand condemned. We all stand as transgressors of the law of God. We all deserve hell. We all, my friend Jesus said, of the Son of God himself, he said that the Son of God has not come in the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. And this is condemnation that light has come into the world. It's already upon sinners. It's already there, Jesus said, at the light of man's guilt before God, in light of the law of God, is something that is a reality in every sinner's heart. But the transaction and the work of God in salvation is God removing our guilt by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, who he made to be sin. Let me quote you a verse. The Apostle Paul said, and he made him, 1 Corinthians 5, and I believe verse number 21, he said he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Jesus didn't have any sin. He was the Son of God. He was conceived in perfection. He was born in perfection. He lived his life from the days of his youth to the day he laid down his life as the perfect man, the Son of God. God in the flesh, 100% God and yet 100% man. Having come to do the Father's will, he laid down his life and shed his perfect blood and gave his perfect life and was made a perfect offering and a perfect sacrifice. And the one who knew no sin was made sin. Why? That we who are sinners might be made the righteousness of God. not in the keeping of the law, not in turning over a new leaf and doing better today than we did yesterday, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, Jesus Christ. And so in salvation, the moment you called upon the Lord in sincerity of repentance and faith, what happened? The work that God did, that Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. What you could never do and what you could never be, God reached down and took your guilt away and gave you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody said, well, that doesn't make sense. That seems too simple. That seems like that ain't a fair trade. I didn't say it's a fair trade. Amen. The one who is the perfect man took on my sin and your sin. He took on my guilt and your guilt. He took on your condemnation and my condemnation. He took your hell and my hell. And thank God we had exchange for us. Our guilt was given. Our guilt was taken and we was given grace. Our sorrow and our sin was exchanged for salvation. Our unrighteousness was exchanged for His righteousness. Amen. If you need to know if salvation is eternal, then just understand what is found in verse number 3. His righteousness endureth forever. You may do good a day or two in a row, but your righteousness will never endure forever. If you're going to have eternal life, you better make sure you have the righteousness of the one who came to die for your sin. Is that not something we can praise God for? Amen. No wonder we shout when we hear in the youth revival, the young people are singing the song, I'm not going to hell. Amen. No wonder we throw our arms up and praise the Lord when the choir sings songs about because He loved me. And we sing songs like Amazing Grace. Why there's a tear running out of our eyes and down our cheeks. Because those who have experienced the special work of the Lord in salvation. We got more than religion. We got more than a religious system. We got more than a turning of the page. We got the reality of God's hand of special work in our life. He done for us what we could never do. That's something to praise the Lord for tonight. Let me say number 2, the content of our praise. We ought to praise Him tonight not only for His special work, verse 3, but we ought to praise Him for His supplying wonders. You say, what do you mean? Let me give this to you. I got to hurry. I'm running out of steam and y'all are too. The Bible said in verse number 4, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. Here David, he goes further in describing the works of God. He's already said that they are great. He's already said they're honorable and glorious. But now he's going to bring us back to works, multiple things that God has done in our life, very specifically and very personally. And he said, what I want you to know is they are wonderful works. I'm glad tonight there's some things I think about. And I'll be honest, if we're not careful, we'll begin to take some of these things for granted and lose sight of just how God is working wonderfully in our life. The Bible said here, He does these things, these wonderful works. Why does He do them? He does them to be remembered. Brother Bob, that word remembered that is used there, you do a word study on it, and here's the idea behind the word remembered, that it is a memento. Now, we don't use words like that in our everyday language, but I think you know what a memento is. It just simply is something that causes one to notice or causes one to awaken the memory. God's wonders, His supplying wonders are done in our life to cause us to think about Him, to take notice that He is the one supplying our needs, to awaken the memory as we think back over our life, times maybe our back was in a corner, as we would say, times where we're between a rock and a hard place, times where we're in battles and we cannot find a way to win, times when the needs are so great it doesn't seem like there's any way that we can meet them. The wonders of the Lord in supplying in those times are situations that God's children all to have some mementos. Amen. You got any mementos in your life? What are some of these special what are some of these supplying wonders? Well, we can praise Him for the supplying wonder of the fullness of His grace. I like that. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You think about where you'd be outside the grace of God. We know it's grace that saved us. We already preached on that. Do you think how many times and how many days, I dare say it's every day, since you've been saved, you've had to lean in upon the grace of God? How many days have we been like the Apostle Paul in a moment of affliction? I seek the Lord and He would take away whatever it was that was aggravating us and troubling us and burdening us and causing our heart to be broken, only to hear the same response that Paul heard. I won't take it away from you, child of God, but my grace shall be sufficient. I've been living off grace since I've been saved. I ain't been living on my own goodness. I ain't been living on my own strength. I ain't been living on my own intellect. I ain't been living on my own education. I ain't even living on my own past experiences. I've been living off of the fullness of God's grace. Go on record tonight and say there's been grace for every need. In fact, the very fact that you can pray tonight, do you know where you go when you pray? The Bible said you meet the Lord at the throne of grace. Amen. We're called upon to go boldly there, not as though we're anything, but boldly in Christ. As we go boldly, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, Paul said, that we might obtain mercy and find what? Find grace to help in time of need. He has sufficient grace. He supplies grace. And not by small measure. The grace that we need is the grace that is supplied. I've never waned the grace of God as much as I've had to use it, as much as I've had to draw from it. You know what I've found? I've never emptied out all the grace of God. Every time I go back, there's as much as there's ever been. Hey, man, I'm glad we can swim in the grace of God. And that is a wonder. That is a supplying wonder that the Lord gives us from day to day. Amen. You ought to thank God the times where you said, I can't make it, but grace lets you make it. Amen. The times where you said, I can't do it, but grace enabled you to do it. Glory to God. I'm glad there's a supplying wonder, the fullness of His grace. Verse number 5, consider there's a supplying wonder, the feeding of His hand. Here's something I'm afraid we just take for granted in our day. Notice what David said, He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. He didn't give them herbs. He didn't give them bark off a tree, you bunch of vegan, vegetarian, insane, animal-loving people. Bible said He gave them meat. Amen. That's why I eat meat. Amen. You can give me salad and try to give me salad, I'll say, every day of my life. But it's God who gives me meat. Amen. I got an amen and a Bobby. Revival's breaking out. Hallelujah. Amen. Are y'all listening tonight? What David is saying, I'm just cutting on with you tonight.
Amen. But what David is saying this evening is, it's the Lord that has put food on the table. It's the Lord that has kept me from going hungry. Oh, yes. It's the Lord that causes the crops to grow. It's the Lord that brings the venison in the deer woods from the deer stand. It's the Lord, Brother Larry, that brings the bear by and lets the dogs run him down. It's the Lord that provides a means to go down to the grocer and find supplies to sustain us. Don't ever forget, that is a wonder, a supplying wonder God does in our lives. Don't you take it for granted. I don't know what you're going to eat when this service is over, if you're going to eat, if you like us in the Ledbetters, we eat after Sunday night service. I don't even know what we're going to eat. Mama's sick, so we may go to Taco Bell. They may go to Taco Bell. Whatever you eat, you make sure you bow your head and give thanks to Almighty God. Don't you be like these ingrates we see all over town. And I've been seeing a lot more people bow their head lately, and I'm glad to see that. Amen. There's a lot of them, buddy. I'm telling you, they'll sit down at the table and they've already shoved a biscuit down their gullet. They ain't ever paused to think, had God not made a way for that biscuit to be there? Had God not caused the wheat to grow in the field? And God had not helped the farmer to raise that and harvest that? And the processors to process that? And the packagers to package that? And the grocer to put it on the shelf? And had God not give you gas to get the grocery at? And God had not give you a little money in your pocket to pay the grocer the high inflation prices Biden is giving to us? I'm telling you, friend, it's God that puts food on the table. I know we got to work. Amen. Bible said if a man won't work, let him starve to death. I got some hate response for saying that some time ago, but I still believe it. If you won't work, you ought to starve to death. Amen. If you won't work, you ought to starve. I ain't talking about people who are not well-bodied and people that have legitimate needs. But if you just want these whiners and gripers and you don't like no employer and you won't put a hard day's work in, hey man, I'm telling you, you ought to starve to death. Amen. You ought to work. Yes, sir. Amen. You ought to work. Amen. I say that. I ain't one of these fat Baptist preachers with chicken grease running off my chin that sleeps in till noon every day.
Amen.
I'm saying that as a working man.
Amen.
Between pastoring and raising my family and trying to supply needs for my family, I'm telling you, it's 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And I don't lay in the bed feeling sorry for myself. And I sure ain't going to lay up waiting on somebody else to take care of me.
Amen.
If I got to go flip burgers at the McDonald's to make ends meet, I'm going to do what I got to do.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
We ought to put in our work and we ought to do our part. And I'm telling you, on the best week we can do, God's been good to me lately, and I'm telling you, God has been good to me lately, and I'm telling you, God's been real good to me lately, and I'm telling you, He's been better than good to me lately, and I'm telling you, I don't ever want to forget, and it's the Lord that supplies wondrously to provide a means to have food on the table. Say amen right there. So I don't like all that. Well, amen, we may have invited you. We may have invited you, but you got here now, you've heard it already.
Amen.
And I ain't taking it back.
Amen.
It's right, it's right, it's right, and it'll always be right.
Yes, sir.
You go home tonight and eat your food, you say, Lord, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. You know what David said? I'm having a hard time, Brother Joe, getting off this. You know what David said? I've never seen the righteous forsaken. nor his seed begging bread. God will take care of his own. David said, I was old. I'm old. I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen that. David said throughout the course of my life, before there's ever a food city in town, before, my friend, there was the big crops and we had growing in our day. David said, in an old ancient Jewish culture, I've watched God supply the need. I've watched God send the rain. I've watched God grow the crops. I've watched God put some meat on the table. We ask for testimonies and everybody sounds like crickets. Least you could do, according to 2 points so far, is stand up and say, I want to thank God for saving me and fattening me up. Amen. 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 Praising God for his special work. Praising God for his supplying wonders of his fullness, of the fullness of his grace, of the feeding of his hand. Well, you talk about the supplying wonder of the flow of his power. He said in verse number 6, he has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. He's talking about when the children of Israel went into Canaan's land to conquer the land. The battles that they would face, the ways that they would come against the enemy and the enemy would stand against them. And yet the Lord allowed the Hebrews to conquer the land. He gave that to them, the heritage of the heathen. God won victory after another, one battle to another. The Lord, when they would honor the Lord and they would trust the Lord and lean on the Lord and obey the Lord would allow his power to flow to them and give them victory. And I say, I'm glad I can stand here tonight. Tell you the Lord's power can reach you in your moment of time when you're in battle, when you're in a battle for your spiritual life against the forces of darkness. Amen. I'm telling you, I've heard, I'm not talking about audibly, I'm not talking about hearing demonic voices, but I've heard them whispers in my heart, you ain't gonna make it. I've been in times, Brother Larry, where that enemy was raging, saying, we're about to do you in. About that time, the Lord sends some strength and a flow of his power. I'd just like to serve summons to the devil in the gates of hell tonight. I'm still standing. I'm still preaching. Hallelujah. I'm still singing, I'm still serving, I'm still, by the grace of God, being faithful to my Savior and to my Lord in spite of the opposition, in spite of the hate mail, in spite of those that have walked away, in spite of betrayers and traitors and enemies that have raged. I'm glad I know something about the flow of his power. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I see we can praise him, the content for the praise for what God has done in our life, his special work, his supplying wonder, his sure word. Verse 7 and 8. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. Notice what he said, all his commandments are sure. All his commandments are sure. You know what David's saying? You can trust the word of God. Amen. Y'all forgive me. I'm preaching to more than's here tonight. There's others looking in. There's more to God's word than the first 5 books of your Bible. In fact, there's 66 of them. Now you can confine yourself the first 5 and you'll never know God. Somebody help me. There's more than Genesis to Deuteronomy. Amen. I want to say what Paul said, all scripture, Genesis to Revelation, is given by inspiration of God and it is perfect, and it is inspired of the Lord. It is God-breathed, and it is of no private interpretation. You've got to take it as a whole. You've got to take it as it is all, and let God reveal Himself through the pages of the Word of God, as He does from Genesis to Revelation. And I'm resting on it. Heaven and earth may pass away. The Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. The grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. I'm glad tonight to be able to say that you can trust the word of God. He has supplied the surety of His word. It is impossible for God to lie. Possible. What He has said, He means. Hang your hat on the revelation that He has given. Amen. Throughout the whole. Amen. I'm glad tonight you listen to what I'm saying. I ain't trusting in what some Baptist told me. I ain't trusting in what I heard in Bible college. I ain't trusting in what any man has to say. Everything about my spiritual life and faith and what I believe, I've got it out of this book right here. I ain't saying I'm right about everything. There's some places I don't understand some things. I told a man recently, I don't know it all, but what I know well because Jesus put it in my heart. That's exactly right. I don't understand all the end time stuff and prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. I don't understand a lot of those things. I'm not even interested in debating and arguing about foolish questions. What I know well because Jesus put it down in there and He showed it to me out of this book. Now you may think I'm a fool. You may think I'm unlearned. You may think that I'm missing on something, but I'm telling you, I'll never take the word of a man over what God has showed me out of the pages of these 66 books that make up the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I found in the midnight hour, I can open this book, lay it out, I can put my knees on it and rest my life on it. Say, God, You said it in Your word. I believe God. And I'm telling you, I can praise Him tonight. He has proven this indoors and is so and is true. All day, every day of my life, this book has been what I've been able to build my life upon. Praising the Lord for what He's done in your life. The continuance of praising the Lord for what He's done. Verses number 9 and 10. I'm skipping over a lot of this. We got to quit. Lord, have mercy. I meant to be done at 7:05. I messed that up. The continuance. I'll just throw it out to you. This thing, David said, his praise endureth forever. How would that be? Number one, by those redeemed. If you're saved tonight, according to verse number 9, the Lord sent redemption unto His people. We've already preached about salvation. If you're saved, you ought to thank God every day you live. You ought to praise the Lord every day you get up out of bed. Say, Lord, thank You that I'm not headed to hell. Thank You I'm not yet in my sin. Thank You I'm not the old man that I used to be. That's how praising the Lord is continued. It ought to be done by those revering. He talks about reverent, holy and reverent is the name of the Lord. He talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We talk about the revering, those that give reverence to the Lord by obeying what the Lord has commanded. Amen. Do you do that?
Do you give reverence to the Lord? That may be why a lot of people are so silent when it comes to praise. You can't praise Him because you know you're not right with Him. If you can't honor Him on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, I don't mean to make you mad. But if you can't honor Him through the week, shut up on Sundays. Praise is to be continued by those who give Him their life. And to the best of our ability, say, I want to honor the Lord with what He's revealed to me from His Word about how I'm to live. Amen. Then I'd love to have time to preach verse number 10, His praise endureth forever. The day's going to come, we're going to die, and we're going to leave this realm. But thank God we're going to live forever. I wrote it down this way, Brother Joe, by those not only redeemed and revering, but those raptured. There is a closing line in this psalm that would indicate David is saying, I'll praise Him on this side, and I'll praise Him on the other side. Because I praise Him here, I'll know what to do when I get over there. Some of y'all gonna have to be taught at the pearly gates how to say hallelujah. Some of y'all are going to have to go through hand-raising classes. If you get there. I don't want to be no stranger to the other side of what the Bible said we're going to do forever. So I'm just not made up that way. That's not my personality. Amen. Well, ain't it funny? When the UT Vols next year are coming down, getting ready to get in the playoffs, and they just got to win that game when they get that touchdown, Brother Mo, how are we going to act? Woo! I'm going to go, time out. That ain't your personality. Sit down and be a stick in the mud.
Amen. Amen.
Give me that. You get excited about other things and act a fool. That crowd, I've watched them. I'm done. That crowd, I've watched them. They'll paint their chest orange and white. Amen. Checker their hair. Put on them stupid looking orange overalls. And stupid looking to a Gator fan anyway. I don't mean to insult y'all. But buddy, I'm telling you, they go down that game, Brother Jack. They go down that game. I have watched how they act. I've seen it. Let Rocky Top fire up over the speakers. They'll sing. They'll sing so loud they won't even be able to talk tomorrow. And then come to church.
Yes, sir. You're right. Amen.
What's wrong?
Amen.
Please don't come in next Sunday with your chest painted. But it would do us all good to come in excited. Thinking, man, I wouldn't even be saved if He hadn't come by my way. He fed me all week long. Gave me grace. Them aggravations at work, just His grace kicked in and sustained me. Days I didn't think I'd make it to the end, His power touched my life. Look back at all these things. Just, I got some things out of His Word again this week that give me something to stand on and build my life on. Come in on Wednesday night saying, I want to praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, we love You. Thank You for everything You've ever done and are doing in our life. You are so, so good. Lord, I'm so thankful this evening for Your mercy and Your grace.
Lord, you could have let us die and go to hell. Could have left all of humanity lost in sin with no hope. But you sent the Prince of Glory come down here and live amongst ungodly men. Bring the way of salvation, Lord, to all that we call upon you by him. Lord, we're glad you give us that opportunity 28 years ago. We praise your holy name. Thank you for everything else you've ever done. May, Lord, the church and the people of God experience a revival of what it is to truly praise the Lord. Lord, not make a show. Lord, not just stand to be heard, but Lord, to truly be in touch with the Lord to the point that praise could be inhabited. Lord, I pray we'd do it in private and we'd do it in public, that we would do it in the assembly and we'd do it in the community. Lord, every opportunity we would speak a word of praise to the honor and the glory of our God. Help us now, we do pray. Lord, as we leave, bless our church, meet our needs. We'll thank you for all that you do.